We're all here to hear a very special shiur from Rabbi Yitzchak Breidowitz Shlita, and he's someone whose CV is so robust, so diverse, that I won't even try to touch on it. Both in Chutz Laaretz and in Eretz Yisrael, he's inspired countless people and thousands more on the internet that he's probably not even aware of. Just to frame this evening's shiur, I just want to tell a personal anecdote that I experienced a few months ago, thanks to the shiur that the Shafers have so wonderfully, sensitively, generously sponsored. And this has become one of the highlights of the year here in Beis Tfila. And it's a tremendous sukkos. Le'ele Nishmas, Avraham Nassan, Zechron Levracha, Ben Daniel Nachum Ben Yamin. Let me give you an example of what a sukkos this is. Last year, we had the opportunity to hear from Rabbi Breidowitz here. And months later, in the institution that I have the opportunity to be associated with during the year professionally, so they were looking for the type of person who could inspire the Talmidim. And the Rosh Yeshiva, when he chose to bring Rabbi Breidowitz into the yeshiva, he didn't just bring him to speak in the yeshiva. He brought him first to speak to the staff, because he felt that the type of impact and inspiration that Rabbi Breidowitz brings with him is the type that was worthwhile for those who are teaching in their own right to learn from him as a model. And when he was describing to the staff in his introduction why he chose, of all the people in all the years, this is the first time in many years that he did such a thing, to bring a speaker into the staff in that capacity. He said, last year at the Yurtzeit lecture, sponsored by the Shafers here in the shul, he was so inspired by Rav Breidowitz's words. He was so inspired by the way he took the most difficult section of Tanakh and boiled it down into a concept that we could understand, appreciate, and take back in our pocket, that he said, this is the type of speaker that we have to bring in to inspire us into how to inspire others. So again, tremendous thank you. And I'm sure that the zchuyos from this lecture and from next Tuesday night's lecture of Rav Zev Shlita, Rav Zev Lev is going to be speaking about preparation for Yom Noraim. And I'm sure that tonight's lecture as well, the sound of the shofar and the inner voice within, just as the shofar is the preparation for the Yom Noraim, I can't imagine a better way to have something ringing in my ears going in through Elul into the Yom Noraim than another shiur from Rav Breidowitz. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for the kind words. It's always difficult when they introduce you in a elaborate way, that I hope my words will not be a disappointment as compared to the buildup. Again, as you all heard, tonight's shiur is Le'iloi Nishmas, Avraham Nassan Ben Daniel Nachum Ben Yamin. And may all of the Divrei Torah that we share bring his neshama to ever higher and higher levels in Gan Eden. And again, I'm personally very grateful to the Shafer family for inviting me, and I'm very honored. I cannot say it's a happy honor, but it's something that indeed is a worthy honor. I want to start a little bit before I get into my main remarks. I want to share with you an experience that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter once remarked upon, that he says when he was a child, when Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was a child, so that takes you to the very beginning of the 1800s, the 19th century, he remembers in Lita the experience of the shul Shabbos Mevorchin Reish Chodesh Elul, that when the Chazan announced Reish Chodesh Elul Yiyah B'Yayim, there was a shouting, crying sound from the Ezras Nashim. And women literally swooned. They fainted when Shabbos Mevorchin Rosh Chodesh Elul was announced. And it was not because of the anticipation of the three-day Yom Tovim of Chutz Laaretz and all the cooking, Sukkot, you know, Rosh Hashanah and Eretz, so we don't have all of that. But it was the Emas Adin, the common say among the Litvashi was that in Elul, even the fish in the ocean sitter. They shake, they quake, they're afraid. I remember hearing from a mashgiach that he remembers as a child that if kids were fooling around too much, making noise in the street or whatever, all a woman had to do, it wasn't even their mother, a woman just had to stick out her head and say, "It's Elo." And all of a sudden, the kids were on their best behavior. So in the month of Elul, there was always kind of an undercurrent of a nida that we would call emas hadin, fear, trepidation, shuddering. Rav Chaim Volozhiner always quoted the pasuk in Tehillim, Kuf Yutes, "Sama mipaktecha besari." My skin has goosebumps, so to speak, out of pachat, etc. Rabbi Saul Salanter pointed out that already in his lifetime, that emas hadin had lessened, and Kal v'chomer in our times. I still remember my years in Eretz Yisrael, where we had a great, great mashgiach, Rav David Kronglass, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who was an altar mirror from Shanghai. And the month of Elul was a very, very different experience. There was kind of a pachat in the air. Every word of the mashgiach was kovei rosh, so serious. In truth, we cannot make believe that this doesn't exist. We don't like to emphasize it so much. We're a weak generation. When we have pachad, we get subrachim. Emas Adin is a reality. In a month, in a little less than a month, we will stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and a decision will be made: who will live and who will die, who will be successful, who will not be successful. And on Rosh Hashanah is the preliminary judgment that's called Kisiva. And then Yom Kippur is the Chasima. The Sanatokev, Rosh Hashanah, Yikosevon, Uviyayim San Kippur, Yechosevon. And when we look back at the past year and we see all the tragedies that occurred, we have to remember that they were Nigzar, last Rosh Hashanah and last Yom Kippur. So this is not a joke. This is a reality. And it's a reality that we really cannot escape because it's real. But there is a downside to this reality that needs to be balanced with a counter reality. When the atmosphere, when the avira that we absorb from Chodesh Elul and Yom HaMenorah generally is pachad, mora, charada, emat hadin, one of two negative consequences can follow. Consequence number one is a person feels so depressed and so tzibrachim that they don't have the psychic energy to feel that they're capable of meaningful change and meaningful growth. They're tzibrachim, they're depressed. One cannot grow and one cannot serve Hashem in a state of depression. That is one problem with focusing on the emas hadin. A second problem, which is related, but it almost moves in the opposite direction, is I can't stand this negative emotion that this season is making me go through, so I'm gonna shut it out. I'm gonna be oblivious. I'm not gonna allow myself to think about it. I gotta get through this season. Okay, 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, Selichas, Yom Kippur. Okay. Then I got Sukkot, Simchas Torah, Baruch Hashem, Hakol B'Seder. I just got to get through 3 days and a week, maybe the week before, two Selichas, and I'm going to be okay. So what happens is that many of us go through the Yom HaMenorah in a very not positive way. We're either terrified or we're indifferent, because that's the only way I can survive, is not allowing myself to get too much into it. because it depresses me too much. In reality, therefore, we have to obviously bring in some other ideas which don't contradict the Amos HaDin aspect, but supplement. It's very, very noteworthy, is it not, that in spite of the numerous shmuzen that those of us who have been in yeshivas have heard, but all of the Amos HaDin, the Yichya Miyamos, the most famous remez, there are many remezim to the month of Elul, and the most famous remez to the month of Elul are the words in Shir HaShirim. Now, Shir HaShirim is written in the form of a love song or a narrative of love and romance between a man and a woman. Ad kedei kach, that there were chachamim who did not want to include Shir HaShirim in Tanakh. They said it's love poetry, it's romance. What are you putting it into Kitzvei HaKodesh? Until Rabbi Akiva was matzil Shir HaShirim, Kol HaShirim Kodesh. All of the songs in Tanakh are Kodesh. And Shir HaShirim is Kodesh Kedoshim. Because Shir HaShirim is a mashal, it is a metaphor, it is an allegory. Yes, it uses romantic love, but the man, the shepherd, the raya, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the woman, the princess, is Am Yisrael. And the passionate love that's being expressed on both sides is the love of Hashem for Am Yisrael and the love of Am Yisrael for Hashem. And when you read the psukim, Kol Dodi Dofek, my beloved is knocking at the door, telling me to get up. Even though in Pshuto Shel Mikra, it's a woman in bed and the guy is saying, get up. It's Hashem calling us to get out of our slumber so we can be redeemed. And in the middle of this beautiful, powerful song, there is a refrain that appears more than once. Ani l'dodi v'dodi li. The woman says these words. I am for my beloved. I am loyal to my beloved. I care about my beloved. I want to be connected. But it's not just me wanting to connect to my beloved. Dodi li. My beloved yearns to be connected to me. And as you all know, the first letters of those four words, Ani l'dodi v'dodi li, Aleph Lamed, Vav Lamed, spells Elul. So to me, it's fascinating that Elul is constantly, there seems to be a branding problem, if I could use modern business terminology. Elul is branded as the time of fear, trepidation, cheshbon ha-nefesh. You're preparing for a trial for your life. You better be prepared. When in fact, the actual remez of Elul is a time of love, togetherness, yearning, a desire to be connected. That is the remez of Elul, Ani l'dodi v'dodi li. In Chabad, there's a very, very famous mashal. Anyone that is a shaykhus to Chabad has undoubtedly heard this mashal a million times. It's almost without a guzma. But it's from the Alter Rebbe, in which Elul was called Hamelech Basadeh. The whole year, a king is in his palace. You can make an appointment, but it may be a little difficult. But once a year, for a while, the king goes into the field. So anybody who wants to approach him can approach him. Hamelech basada, the melech is in the field, says the Alter Rebbe. That is our connection to Hashem in the month of Elul. The melech is in the sada. You see, we sometimes internalize a wrong picture of what does it mean that Hashem is our judge. It's almost as if we think sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu plays a gotcha game. that, you know, we do something, we do mitzvahs, we try to do things right. And Hashem is looking and looking and looking and looking. So he finally says, gotcha. And Hashem is looking. And that creates anxiety by definition, because I know for sure, no matter how hard I try, there's going to be a gotcha there. Something's going to be wrong. But I'll tell you the secret. Hashem is scrutinizing and scrutinizing and scrutinizing and scrutinizing. 100%. But you know what he's scrutinizing? He's looking for the good in what you did. Not only the bad in what you did. The Gemara in Shabbos says on a pasuk in Iyud, and this is a pasuk we say during Kaparis, Erev Yom Kippur, Im yesh malach mine ele, lahagid li adam yashre. If there is one angel out of a thousand to declare the uprightness of a person, Yechunenu, Hashem says he is deserving of compassion. Matsasi kofer, I have found his redemption. And the Gemara in Shabbos says that means in the Beis Din Shomaila, if there's 999 angels that say the person is worthless, and there's one angel out of a thousand that says he's worthy. And then the Gemara goes on and says, that even within that angel, 999 parts of the Malach say he's no good. And it's 1,000 of an angel that is one out of 1,000. 1,000,000. Hashem says, there's enough here. There's enough here for Rachel. So yeah, Hashem is looking and looking and looking and looking. He's not looking to hurt us. He's looking to be machapesachos. By the way, the Bali Musar do say that there's a Mida connected Mida here. That is, if we look at other people that way, then Hashem will look at us that way. If Chas V'Shalom, we become overly critical of what we think the mistakes of other people are, then Chas V'Shalom, we're not necessarily zochem to that Mida. Right? So that's a very important message generally. So as a result, there's a whole other way of looking at it and looking at tshuva. Rav Kook writes that b'etzem tshuva should be a happy experience. Yes, it is true that part of tshuva is harata, regretting my past. But tshuva is the chance to rebuild. It's the chance to reconnect. It's the chance to have a second chance. That no matter how much we messed up, we can make things good. And it's a gift. The Mesilas Yesharim says it's not logical that we should be able to repair all the damage that we've done. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Barayv Chasta, with his rachamim, gave us a process by which we can get not only forgiveness, but reconciliation and reconnection with Hashem. So the Avodah of Tshuva should not be something that we dread. It should be something that we welcome. Baruch Hashem. And hello, as Rav Chaskel Evershin used there, the golden tov, the golden days, the days of opportunity, the days of, yeah, no matter what road I've been on, but Rabbeinu Yonah writes in the Yesod HaTshuva, which many machzorim had, just to kind of, that's a, you might call it a very short kitzer of the Shari Tshuva. It's only 2 or 3 pages. He writes in the Yesod HaTshuva that the first concept of tshuva is that you have to look at today as the beginning of the rest of your life, as the t-shirt saying goes. Meaning, don't think about the past. Eventually, you got to deal with the past, but don't think about the past. Every day is a new opportunity. Every moment, there's a new choice you can make. And what you were yesterday does not dictate what you are today. And what you are today does not limit what you can become tomorrow. In fact, the Mefarshim say in last week's parsha, Re'ei Anoichi Naisein Lefneichem Hayayim Rachel Klava. Behold, I am putting before you today the path of blessing and the path of curse. Today, meaning which day is today? Well, whatever day is today, meaning today is now, and today will be tomorrow, and today will be the day afterwards. Every day, there is the path of bracha uklala. There's no such mitzias is, I'm so much on the path of klala, I don't have a way of getting there. That's the miracle of tshuva. They say in Pi Hashmua, in the name of the Vilna Gaon. You know, sometimes, I'm sure it's happened to all of us, you're in the middle of Shemona Esrei, middle of Tefillah, and our mind wanders. We were in a certain bracha, and then all of a sudden we find ourselves 10 brachos ahead, and we're not really sure how we got from point A to point B. We assume we said the words, but we may not even have a recollection. So often a person might have the attitude, okay, so this tefillah I messed up, so let me just finish it as quick as I can, and then maybe from Marav I'll be better, Shacharit I'll be better. Says the Vilna Gaon, that's a mistake. If the Yetzer Hara took away your kavana for Slach Lanu, you come back and fight with Re'ena Vanyena. And if he wins with her Fa'enu, you come back with Barei Chalein. You don't give up. Every moment is a choice you can make. If a person had a bad morning seder in Kailo Yeshiva, and there's only 15 minutes left, you don't have the attitude, escape nish, let's forget about it. Rather, the attitude is, you know, I got 15 minutes. Let me use the 15 minutes. Let me take what I have and do it in a good way. So in this way, we need to look at Elul generally as a time of love, as a time of reconciliation, as an opportunity to start again with a God who loves us, who craves a relationship with us, who is sitting and yearning for us to come back to him, who will meet us much more than halfway. As Chazal saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Pischuli kechudai shalmach. Open up your heart like the eye of a needle. Tiny little bit. Ani eftach lachem kepischai shalheichal. I will open up like the doorway of the ante hall of the Beis HaMikdash, a very, very wide doorway. It's not even meeting us halfway. It's meeting us 90% of the way. But we have to give Hashem the chudai shel machat, the eye of the needle. Open our hearts. So in this connection, I want to mention an interesting ha'ara. We know that right after Tisha B'Av, well, Chazal tell us that there's a certain pattern in the Haftiris, that the three Shabbosos before Tisha B'Av, we have to read three Haftiris of Paranias, of tragedy, catastrophe. And following the catastrophes for the seven Shabbosos, after Tisha B'Av until Rosh Hashanah, we read the Sheva D'Nechemta, seven Haftiris of comfort. Actually, last Shabbos, there was a little bit of a machlokas what to do. Last Shabbos was Reish Chodesh. Reish Chodesh normally has its own haftarah. So there's a machlokas in Minhagim. When Reish Chodesh Elul falls out on Shabbos, is the haftarah Ani Asayra, which would have been the Sheva D'Nechemta, or is it Hashemayim Kisi, which is Shabbos Reish Chodesh, or is it both? Different minhagim, and ask you, whatever you did is what you did. The good news is whatever you did will have a makor. but other than Rosh Chodesh as a difficulty, we do have this idea of seven haftaris of comfort. All of them are taken from the Navi Yeshayahu. And that brings us to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, where the theme of the Haftiras are tshuva. So look at the pattern. Paranias, Nechama, which includes Geula, and tshuva. So one might ask a kasha on that sequence. And that is, the Torah itself says, what's going to happen is, when the Jewish people sin, there will be galus, there will be Chorban, there will be sorrows, and out of those sorrows, we will recognize that we have abandoned Hashem, and we will do tshuva, and when we do tshuva, we're going to be redeemed. So the Chumash's cycle is, Paranias creates tshuva, and tshuva brings Geula and the Chum. That's in Parshas V'eschanan, it's in Parshas Nitzavim, etc. Now that very pattern is mirrored in Halacha, in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam says Beferish, Ein Yisrael Nigalin Ela B'tshuva. Geula will only come when there's tshuva. But in the Chinami, Hashem promises that B'acharis Hayomim, Kval Yisrael will do tshuva, but we need tshuva. This is also echoed in the order of the brachos in Shmona Esrei. Hashiveinu Avinu, we ask Hashem, help us do tshuva. And then if we do tshuva, we ask Hashem, Salach Lanu, forgive us. And only then, Re'einu Avonienu, Brachat Hashem, Goel Yisrael. So the question is this, why do the Haftiras go with the pattern tragedy, redemption, tshuva, when in fact the sequence ought to be tragedy, tshuva, redemption? Right? How can you talk about Geula and Nechama before tshuva if Ein Yisrael Negalim Ela B'tshuva? So the answer I want to suggest is this. It is 100% true. There will not be Geula until we do tshuva. So in the chronological unfolding of Jewish history, as it will unfold eventually, out of the Paranias, out of the Golos, out of the Chorban, we will come to tshuva in Baruch Hashem. We've certainly started a Hisayiris to tshuva, but there's a lot more to go. And then the Mashiach will. But here's the problem. A person who suffers sorrow after sorrow, loss after loss, bereavement after bereavement, disappointment after disappointment, whether it's the nation as a whole or whether it's individuals, we get sabrachim. We think Hashem has abandoned us. We think Hashem hates us. We think Hashem, at most, doesn't care. Where will I get the energy to do tshuva? Where will I feel that God cares enough about me that my tshuva will be makom? How do I go from Paranias to tshuva if I feel Hashem has rejected me? Indeed, this is one of the Haftarahs, but Taimer Tziyan, Azavani Hashem. Tziyan cries out, Azavani Hashem, Hashem has forsaken me. Hashem Shechaychani, Hashem has forgotten me. So, it's true that Nechama and Geula are not going to come until we do tshuva. But in order to do tshuva, I have to internalize that there will be a Nechama. There will be a Geula. Hashem loves us. Hashem cares about us. As the Haftarah says, Hatishkach Isha Ula, you say Hashem has forgotten you. Can a mother forget her baby? Can a mother stop thinking of the child that emerged from her womb? And Gamela Tishkachna, and even if they would forget, Anochi Lo Eshkach. Of course, Moran Brachas has a beautiful extra drasha. Eila Tishkachna is a remez by the Cheto Egel, Klal Yisrael said, Eila Eloihecha Yisrael. And Anoichi is Anoichi, so Gam Eila Tishkachna, where Bracha says, with tshuva, Hashem will forget, Eila Elohecha Yisrael. But Anoichi, and when you were Makabal, Anoichi Hashem Eloihecha, Lai Tishkachna. That's not going to be forget. It's a beautiful drasha in the Gemara Brachas. But even Pshuta Shomitra is very beautiful, even before we get to that drasha. The Yid says, Hashem doesn't care anymore. And Hashem says, does a mother stop caring? And if a mother would stop caring, I would not stop caring. So the point is, why do we have seven Haftiras of comfort before we get to Rosh Hashanah? Because the comfort, the redemption is what builds us up. So we're able to do tshuva. You can't do tshuva out of a sense of how bad you are. You do tshuva out of a sense of how great you can become and how beloved you are. B'yenei amakim. That is what builds a person up. That is how we build our Talmidim. That is how we build our children. That is how we build our spouse, husband to wife, and wife to husband. Not by criticism, not by denigration, not by bitum. But by giving a person a sense of their chashivas, of their godless, of how much Hashem loves them. And then a person wants to change. A person wants to improve. A person wants to grow. And then, as Rav Kook says, there will be a simcha in the process of that shiva. The joy of reconnecting to Hashem. Because I am secure in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love. That is why we need the Sheva Dinechemta as a precursor. See, in other words, the point I'm making is, it's not only the aftermath of Tisha B'Av, it is actually the Hachana to Yomim Leiram. You need that Hachana, Liyomim Leiram. If I could extend this a little further to go back to Parshas V'Yaschana. When Moshe Rabbeinu is giving teichacha to the new generation that will be entering Eretz Yisrael after his death. And he's going to die very, very soon. The whole book of Devarim is the last month of Moshe Rabbeinu's death. So Moshe Rabbeinu talks about the fact that Yeshanan, I pray to Hashem to be able to enter Eretz Yisrael. Vayisaber Hashem bi lamanchem, and Hashem was angry at me because of you, and Hashem said, I cannot go. This is actually a shver pasuk. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu committed a chait, whatever the chait was. He hit the rock, he should have spoken to the rock. He called the Jewish people rebellious, he got angry, whatever it was. But he seems to be saying, it's your fault. You were complaining, you were making trouble, so I got mad and I hit the rock. It's your fault. I didn't go to Eretz Yisrael. Well, that's not how a tzaddik would talk. It's like people say, yeah, God forbid, they hit their wives and say, she made me do it. I mean, it's not an excuse. Moshe Rabbeinu was blaming Am Yisrael for his aveira, whatever his aveira was, but he's not going to say, it's your fault that I did the aveira. What's the pshat? So the Drasha Haran says very beautifully, Vayisaber Hashem bi lamanchem does not mean Hashem was angry at me because you made me do it. But Hashem was angry at me for your sake, for your benefit, for your honor. What's the pshat? Because Klal Yisrael, it's hard for us to imagine. Well, actually, maybe it's not so hard to imagine. Klal Yisrael is terrified of the future. They're going to be entering Eretz Yisrael. They're going to have to fight a very fierce enemy. They're going to lose Moshe Rabbeinu. There's no longer going to be the Man and the Anani Akavite and the Be'er. All of the Hashkacha practice of the Midbar is going to vanish. And one could understand that they may feel we're not going to be able to make it. So Moshe Rabbeinu wants to give them chizuk at this critical time by saying, this is the run. Look at how beloved you are in Hashem's eyes. All the time you sinned against the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He forgives you over and over and over again. But when I am Pegeya in your covenant, Hashem says, one strike and you're out. So what is Moshe telling them? Look at how esteemed you are in Hashem's eyes. And the Ran gives us a very important yesod. The Ran says most of the book of Devarim is teichacha. Moshe Rabbeinu points out this aveira, this flaw, that flaw, that flaw. And teichacha is necessary. We have an obligation towards our children, towards the Talmidim, to point out the areas that need to be fixed, need to be corrected. Of course, we also need to focus on our chatronas too. But the Ran says, teichacha alone is destructive. The teichacha always has to be combined with words of chizuk, words of idud, words of encouragement, words that convey the message, kama chavivim atem lifnei hamakim. And the Ran says, Vayisaber Hashem bi lamanchem is precisely that message. Kama chavivim atem lifnei hamakim. And this is the message of the Sheva dinachemta. This prepares us for the tshuva of Yomim Levayim, of Chodesh Elul, of Rosh Hashanah, of Yom Kippur. To be Margish Hashem's lover, of course, part of why Sukkot is a month Simchasenu, the Gra writes, is not only because it's the time of the ingathering of the harvest, which is the agricultural aspect, but because it comes in the aftermath of Yom Kippur, which is Machilas Avenus, which a person can feel a deep sense of simcha in their reconnection to HaKadosh Baruch. That's why there's actually a machlekes by Tekiyas Shofar. Machlekes, the Grand the Arizal. What is the dominant kavana that one should have when the shofar is being blown on Rosh Hashanah? The Arizal actually says that it's charada, it's trembling. As the Pasuk says in Amos, Ayitaka shofar boyer. Now there it's a war horn. But when the shofar is heard in the city, Ma'am lo yachradu, people don't tremble. So the shofar is an alarm clock. It's a warning. Whereas the Rambam puts it, Uru yeshena mishinaschem. Those of us who are going through life as sleepwalkers have to get up. Uru yeshena mishinaschem. It's the summons to judgment. Right? How do when people are being tried for a crime and there's a jury? So the way the Mahalach goes is the jury deliberates. And when they're finally ready, there's a buzzer that says the jury's coming in. The shofar is the buzzer. The malachim and shemayim are sitting in judgment with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Arizal writes, the dominant emotion of shofar is charada. The Gra says the other way around. The dominant emotion of shofar is simcha. It is the coronation of the king. It is the trumpet being mamlech HaKadosh Baruch. Now, the emphasis is, it's so interesting, that this is clearly an example of Eilu V'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. Because if you look at the psukim, right, we say a number of psukim before Tekiyas Shofar. Besides Lam Matzeach, the Kapitula we say seven times, but we then say psukim, and some minhagim only the Baal Tokeah says the psukim. But they spell, right, the first letter of the psukim spell two words, Kra Satan, may the Satan be ripped up. But you'll notice that one pasuk says, Min ha-meitzar karasika, anani ba-merchav kam. Min ha-meitzar, out of desperation, I call out to Hashem. I'm in trouble. Anani ba-merchav, answer me with expansiveness. That pasuk conveys a motif of fear and panic. And yet, another pasuk that said is, "Sas anoichi alim rasecha, kemaitse shalom rav." I rejoice over your Torah as if I found a great treasure. That's a pasuk of the simcha in limud haTorah and avodas Hashem. So the Shofar combines both of those ideas, the charada and the emas hadin, but the joy, b'chatzetzreis v'kayol Shofar, hario lifnei ha-melech Hashem, with the trumpet and the Shofar, the Beis Mikdash, they also had chatzetzreis, hario joyously shout, proclaiming Hashem as the Melech. So I would suggest that the Ari and the Gra are not necessarily a machlokes. They're describing different inyanim, different facets of the Tekiyas Shofar, and both of them are true. So the kitzur, in the time we have left, I just want to share a few thoughts about Shofar. Everyone knows Shofar, of course, has so many ramazim. Rav Sadia Gaon gives 10 different ramazim, a remez to the Akeda, to Matan Torah, to Mashiach, to Tchias Amesim, to Kibbutz Goliath, to being Mamlech Hashem, coronating Hashem. Rav Sadia Gaon goes through many, many symbols. But I want to share with you four machshavas, which are a little later, a little more modern, so to speak, but said by Gedolim over the centuries. The first is a machshava of Rav Shimshon of Baal Hirsch, who actually says, the very sounds of the Shofar remind us of the process of tshuva and the hope that tshuva can give us. Remember that Adam HaRishon was created on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, Aleph Tishrei, at least if you paskin b'Tishrei Nivra Olam, that's a question, but if you paskin b'Tishrei Nivra Olam, Rabbi Eliezer, Adam HaRishon was created on Aleph Tishrei. How did Hashem create Adam HaRishon? By breathing into the physical body the breath of Hashem. Vayipach biyapav nishmas chayim. Now this itself is remarkably important. Every other creation in the world was created by Abira, by Dibur. Hashem said, let there be cows, let there be dogs, let there be goats. The godly essence of man was not created by let there be man. Hashem breathed into man. And the Zohar says, man de napich, mi garmei napich. When you breathe into someone, like mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, you're giving them your essence. In ways we don't understand, our neshamas are a chelek of Hashem. Again, difficult to really understand that, but that's how close we are. A chelek aleka mima. So the tekiya, which is breathing out a long sound, is reminiscent of a yipach biyapa nishmas chayim. Now, the Tekiya is a long sound. It's a straight sound. It's an unbroken sound. That's the neshama Hashem gave us. It was pure. It was strong. It was vibrant. But what do we do with that neshama? Shebarim. We smash it. We break it by aveiros. So the tekiya is the pure soul that Hashem gave us. Elokai neshama shenasata li tahorei. To be Torah. The Shavarim is the chait that's mashchis the neshama. The Terua, looking at the different sounds, is the crying of the Baal Teshuva, who wants to come back to God. So Tekiya is the original neshama. The Shavarim is the chait. The Terua is the Yisairis, the Teshuva. What do you get after the Trilla? You get the Tekiya to remind me that I could restore my neshama to what it was. And not only that, but the end Tekiya after the other blowing is longer than the original Tekiya. That's the Tekiya Gedayla, and that's a remez to Chazal's teaching. The place where the Baal Teshuva stands is stronger than even the Tzaddik Gomer. So Rav Hirsch's analysis overall is looking at the Shofar as not just a call to Teshuva, but it's actually the different sounds are actually describing different pieces of the Teshuva process. And the end result is the person is mitukan. The neshama is back to where it was, and it's even better than where it was. The makom shebalei tshuva omdim. Tzadikim gemurim, einam yechayven lamaybam. So that's Bekitzur, just one machshava from Rav Hirsch about the kiyas shofar. But then Rav Huttner in the Pachad Yitzchak, he doesn't quote Rav Hirsch, but essentially he goes with a similar ma'alach to Rav Hirsch, but he adds a very interesting thing. Rav Hirsch described the tekiya as a reenactment of Hashem breathing into us. But if you think about it, it's really the opposite idea, because on Rosh Hashanah, 5,782 years ago, Hashem breathed into us. By tekiya, I'm blowing out. So Rav Huttner says, another way of looking at tekiya's shofar is, it is giving your soul back to Hashem for renewal. In other words, it's a very vivid death experience, so to speak. It's like you rent a car, right? You rent a car, it used to be considered, or today things can be done online, it's much easier. But I remember in the olden days, there was a ritualistic aspect. If you rented the car for 5 days and you wanted to extend it, you couldn't just do it over the phone. You had to bring the car back. You had to hand it over to them and like do a new Maisa King. At least this is what it was in America. I don't know what the situation was here. But there was this literal, very literalist notion that you have to give it back. And then you take it back for a new Zman, a new Kenyan, so to speak. The point we have to understand is Hashem gives us our lives in 1 year increments. At the end of the year, we give it back and we ask for a renewal. So Rav Huttner's ingenious, very moving, perhaps a little frightening interpretation is that the tekiya is indeed reminiscent of Vayipach Biapav Nishmas Chayim, but in the opposite direction, where Makir and Rosh Hashanah, our lives are over, we're turning our lives back to Hashem, and we are asking for a renewal. Therefore, it's ki'ilo, your meiser, your neshama, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, in Hashem's rachamim, we should be batuach in the chesed of Hashem, in the love of Hashem. One should not get, you know, compulsively frightened. Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Tov, remember? But we have to be makir that we need a renewal of the lease. The lease is up, and we have to ask the landlord for a new lease, which we hope we'll get Be'ezras Hashem. So that's the second perspective. A third mahalach is an interesting machshava of the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes points out the Mishnah in Maseches Rosh Hashanah that says every type of animal horn is kosher for a shofar. Chutz mishal para. The Ramban is mitzadet, even non-kosher animals might be kosher for a shofar. That's a machlokas. But it does say the horn of a cow or a bull is not kosher for a shofar, even though it's a perfectly kosher animal. The Gemara discusses different reasons, but one reason the Gemara gives based on a brisa is that since a cow or a bull is reminiscent of the chet ha'egel, a calf, ein kategor nase sanegor, a prosecutor is not the best one to be your defense attorney. You don't come before Hashem brandishing the thing you did in Aveira and asking Hashem for mercy. Now, it's not that people say, oh, you're reminding Hashem of the chet ha'egel. I mean, Hashem remembers it one way or the other, but there's a certain azus panim, a certain chutzpah, coming with your chet and asking Hashem to forgive me. So we don't use keren shofara, and the brisa says, we have an analogy in the Yom Aveda, that when the Kohen Gadol goes in to the Kodesh HaKidoshim, he cannot wear his garments which have gold in them, which is his regular uniform, big day love. He could only go in with big day lavan. And the reason, once again, is because gold is also a reminder of the chet ha'egel and ein kategor nases ha'egel. So the Gemara is medame, a shofar of a para with big day zohar on Yom Kippur. But then the Gemara asks, well, wait a second here. The whole analogy breaks down because the problem of big day zohar is only in the Kodesh HaKodashim. When the Kohen Gadol is not in the Kodesh HaKodashim, even on Yom Kippur, he does many avodas in big day zohar. So apparently, the problem of Ein Kategor Nase Sanegor is only a problem in the Kodesh HaKodashim. So why is it a problem with shofar? In other words, I should be allowed to blow a shofar shofara because that's no worse than the Kohen Gadol wearing golden garments when he's not in the Kodesh HaKodashim. It's a good kasha. The Gemara has to kasha. So the Gemara's teretz is actually very powerful teretz. Since shofar is lezikaron, since shofar is to elicit a compassionate memory from Hashem, he should remember us l'tov. The moment of tekiyas shofar is ki'ilu we are standing in the Kodesh HaKodashim. That's quite amazing. Meaning, the principle of Ein Kategor Nase Sanegor only applies when you're in the highest level of intimacy. That's possible, and that's the Kodesh HaKodashim. That's why it only applies to the big day lavan, or not wearing the big day zav in the Kodesh HaKodashim. And outside of the Kodesh HaKodashim, the Kohen Gadol can wear big days off. Meaning, we don't apply this rule in the whole Beis HaMikdash even. We only apply it in the Kodesh HaKodashim. So why do I apply it to the horn of a shofar? Because that is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The moment of the Tekiyas Shofar, all of us, not just the Kohen Gadol, I read the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So based on that idea, here's what the Source MS suggests. I mean, this is the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. It's a very powerful Gemara. Says the Sfas Emes, since the moment of the Kiyas Shofar, we are in the Kodesh HaKadosh. That moment, we don't pray to Hashem with words. Because the same way you don't use the horn of a para, and the same way you don't wear big day, the Kohen Gadol does not wear big day zav in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Ein kateger nasa senega. My own mouth is a kateger. How can my mouth that speaks Lashon Hara, that's malbin penecha veira barabin, devorim batalim, this mouth becomes tame. How can I use this mouth to plead for mercy to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? My kayach hadibor itself becomes contaminated. So ain't a chinami when I'm not in the basement, when I'm not in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it'll be okay. But in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, I can only give Hashem the part of me that is pure, uncorruptible, good, not affected by chit. What part of me is that? The inner panemius of my neshama, the pinto lingit. So what is the shofar? The shofar, says the Sfas Emes, is a prayer that comes from your kishkes, from your guts. It comes from a place that's beyond words, beyond pretense, in which it is simply the cry of a wounded animal. I want to be close. I don't know how to do it. Shofar is the tsura of a tefillah coming from the innermost recesses of the subconscious self, which has not been tainted by aveiros. And in the moment of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that is what you must give Hashem. You give Hashem the part of you that is not affected by a chait. This is a very important to say, so pinto liyed, whatever it is. Averos, I used before the lashon, averos obliterate the neshama. That's not totally emes. Averos might be like dirt on the neshama that blocks its light or blocks it from receiving the light. But there is a panemius of our neshamas that cannot be destroyed by chatayim. There is a panemius of our neshama that remains holy. And that's why tshuva is shaykh, because if averos would be mashchis mi lagamri, then I'm already dead. What is there to do tshuva? There has to be some chiyus within a person that is not affected by chit. And the shofar is coming from the chishkes, coming from the guts. The Sfas Emes says that represents that tefillah. So I've mentioned three perspectives. Rav Hirsch, that the kolos of the shofar described the process of tshuva and the aftermath of tshuva. Rav Huttner, the shofar is a symbolic death. The Sfas Emes, the shofar is the tzura of a tefillah without verbalization or hypocrisy. That's coming from the panemius of a person that is not nifkam by chait. Let me mention a final mahalach from the Shem Mishmur. And here he makes a very interesting observation. In the Torah itself, when the Torah says, Yom Trua Yalachem, the Torah does not tell you what to keep. It doesn't even say to keep. We only know it from the Drasha, but It certainly does not give you a meaning of Tekiya, Shvar, and Trula. It doesn't give you any meanings. But there's one place in the Torah where the Torah does give you a meaning of these different sounds. And that is by the Chatzaitzrot. And in Parshas Baloscha, Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to make two trumpets of silver. And these trumpets were blown at various times. And the Torah says, sometimes you blow a tekiah, and sometimes you blow a trua. Again, shvarim is not mentioned separately because shvarim and trua are just variations of a broken kol. We're mesupik exactly. If the trua of the Torah is a shvarim, or a shvarim trua, or a trua, the Haigain says all three are good, but whatever it would be. So we really only have two sounds. We have tekiah, the long sounds, and the broken sounds. And even though the Torah does not tell me what this means in the case of Shofar, the Torah does tell me what it means in the case of Chatzaitzrus. So with a little bit of license, we could borrow the Chatzaitzrus uptake and apply it to the Shofar. So what does the Torah say? When it's time for Klal Yisrael to gather, a tekiah is blown, and a second tekiah says, we're ready to travel. So the Chumash itself says, the tekiah is the sign for Asipa. The trua is the sound for journey. So says the Shem Mishmur, a new year is a new journey in life. And trua, interestingly enough, is both a laughing sound and a crying sound. Laughing and crying can sound very close sometimes. Right? Again, sometimes you laugh until you cry until you laugh. I think with little children, we sometimes have the experience, a child is crying. If you can amuse the child starts laughing in the middle, turns into a laughing. And the reason why a trua is connected to laughing and crying, because that is the nature of a new journey. A new journey can be scary. A new journey can be frightening. Number one, we hope and we pray we'll have life and we'll have health, but we don't always know. But number two, even if a person, Baruch Hashem, has life and has health, but new challenges, they can be frightening. New yeshiva, new community, new job. Person gets married. Person has children. Wonderful things, but scary a little bit, frightening a little bit. So we laugh in anticipation of all of the potential for growth. But we're a little scared about trepidation. So what is the symbolic meaning here, the Shem Mishmur says? We all come together. And trua, we sally forth. We have to come together, biachdus, biavas Yisrael, ish esreyeyu yazayru, liyachiv yaymar chazak. Each of us helps each other, and we give chizak. And when the tekiah brings us together, we are then ready for the trua, the journeying forward, which is then bracketed with a tekiah, because at the end of the journey, we want to hold on to that achdus and togetherness. So these are some machshavas about tekiah shofar. Let me just end with an interesting little voice from the Satmar Rav. The Torah describes Eretz Yisrael. Einei Hashem alekecha ba. The eyes of Hashem are on Eretz Yisrael. Meireishis Hashana ad acharis shana. From the beginning of the year to the end of the year. The Pashtus is, of course, the big Yesod of the Ramban. that in Chutz La'aretz Hashem may have given some decision to Malachim, etc. In Eretz Yisrael, every decision is made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Hashgacha Pratis in Eretz Yisrael is Mashahu Miyuchad. So that's the Pasuk telling me that. But the Satmar Rav is made on a much more smaller deal. It's a small little deal. It says, Mereshis Hashanah, the beginning of the year, Ad Acharis Shana, end of year. It doesn't say Acharit Hashana. It only says Acharis Shana. A small little question. But why is there a difference? Why is the beginning called Hashana and the end is called Shana? So the Satmar Rebbe said, Kachi Darkei Shel Olam. At the beginning of a year, we're so excited. This will be the year. This will be the year. I'm going to learn well. I'm going to daven well. I'm going to, you know, do Daf Yomi, finish Shas, whatever it will be. But what often happens is, what started off voracious as Hashana, by the end of the year is Shana, just another year. We can't do it that way. We have to understand that even though we're at the very end of the year, we can turn this year into Hashana as well. And he even said that that is the meaning in the Sfarish of Kedusha. Hein gal di eschem acharis gracious, which means, when will I redeem you? When the acharis, when the enthusiasm you have at the end of the year is gracious, is like the enthusiasm you had at the beginning of the year. So again, I want to wish you all, and really all of Klal Yisrael, all of us in Eretz Yisrael Bifrat and in Chutz La'aretz as well, that we should be zeicha to exceed l'chasim taiva, good to ben shior, and we should use these golden atag, these golden days, to feel the love of Hashem and to try to make ourselves into the people that we're capable of becoming, and in that way bring a nachas ruach to our Kaddish Baruch Hu. So, k'sivu k'sivu taiva.